Welcome to the Wellsteading Podcast. This is episode 94. It's March 11th, 2015. I'm your host, John Pugliano. I'm also the founder and money manager at investablewealth.com. Well, market volatility has returned sooner than I thought. That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode. Not only do a market review, but also talk about the importance and the need to be able to have the discipline to sell your positions. And that's to sell to either preserve your profits or to take a profit or even to take a loss. Many investors get caught up in their positions. They get emotionally attached to them. They get wedded to them. And you've heard me say many times in this podcast, I'm not married to my stocks. I'm married to my wife. I love my wife. I have a commitment to my wife. But none of that applies to the stock market. None of that applies to my investing. I date stocks. I don't marry them. I look at them as blonde brunettes and redheads. I'm only in it for me. I'm only in it to take a profit. And this may seem like common sense, or it may seem logical, or maybe it doesn't. Maybe you think that you should have the conviction to stay with your investments and hold them through thick and thin. That's what people do when they buy and hold. That's what people do when they get dogmatic around a particular investment theory or strategy. That's what we're going to talk about today. And in my opinion, those are things you don't want to do. You don't want to be wedded to your stocks, your investment strategies. You want to constantly be reassessing new information. You want to dump the dogs and hold on to the winners. Now, as to a market review, things had been looking very good and very stable a couple weeks ago. I was thinking that we could get through March with some stability. We had seen a great deal of volatility starting at the beginning of the year, maybe even right around Christmas time. And then things did begin to stabilize the end of February, the beginning of March. We made it through the earnings period adequately. I thought we could ride that out for the next 4 weeks. And then by the time we got into April, when first quarter earnings came out, I'm anticipating that we're going to see a reduction in overall S&P 500 earnings. That's going to be primarily driven by major losses in the energy and oil companies. And just a rough rule of thumb on that, assume that oil companies make up, say, maybe 10, maybe 15% of the overall S&P 500. And that isn't directly necessarily, but when you look at not only, you know, the big oil companies, ExxonMobil, Chevron, those big producers, but then you also look at the adjacent industries that support them, you're maybe looking at 15%. But anyway, just to keep our math simple, let's just say that they make up 10% of the S&P 500. We're anticipating earnings to decrease by anywhere from 25 to 50% in that oil industry. Again, it depends on which sector, which type of company you're talking about. So when you look at 10% times either 25 to 50%, that puts the S&P 500 at an earnings decrease, an earnings reduction of somewhere between 2.5% to say 5%. Well, that's a substantial hit. If you remember last year, a lot of economists, a lot of forecasters were going into 2015 saying, hey, this was a year we were just going to really accelerate and come out of the recession that we've been in. And I know the stock market has done extremely well over the last 6 years, but the general economy hasn't. I believe the number for last year was 2.4%. In fact, I need to go back and do a blog post on that to get caught up. I didn't do one now that the final numbers for 2014 are out, but I think we only ended up growing at 2.4%. That might be roughly a little higher than what I thought we would grow at. And again, I'll look those numbers up and I'll do a blog post over at investablewealth.com about that, because I do need to get caught up on that and rehash and review some of the things that I mentioned early in 2014 and late in 2013. But the bottom line is, the fact that the stock market has grown does not necessarily reflect that the general economy has grown. We're only growing arguably around, 2%. That's not stellar growth. That's really not even what you would consider healthy, moderate growth for an economy of our size. In any case, though, the economists and many people were thinking that 2015 was just going to be a blowout year. We would see earnings in excess of 11% for the S&P 500. Well, those have all been revised down. That means that the valuations in the S&P 500 are higher than they may first appear, or at least than they appeared 6 months ago. And so that could be why you'll see more volatility and perhaps a correction or a pullback in the S&P 500 as we get into April and beyond April, as we actually see where earnings come in at. Now, a decrease in earnings estimates is not only affecting energy stocks, it's really affecting everything in the S&P 500. I say everything, that's not quite true. I think the healthcare sector is still looking to grow somewhere in excess of 6%, but that's really the only bright spot. Consumer discretionary spending is expected to grow around 5%, a little less than 5%. It was expected to grow just a few months ago. They were expecting consumer discretionary spending to increase near 6%. So we're really seeing about a 1% drop in expectations. And really, that's what we're seeing across the board. Consumer staple products, we're seeing about a 1% decrease in expectations. Again, we're not saying that the earnings are going to decrease 1%. They're still going to be growing at maybe 3.5%, but they were expected to grow in excess of like 4.7, 4.8%. Financial industry, we're looking at least a 1% decrease in earnings expectations there. Industrials, probably about a 2% earnings decrease in expectations. So again, that's why I was looking at April and beyond as being rocky in the stock market, more volatility, perhaps a pullback or correction. As we get into the summer months, oftentimes we'll see a pullback anyways. So that was what I was expecting. I was planning to ride out my positions probably though through March. All that changed, however, yesterday. Oh, and let me state this. I did put a blog post out yesterday at investablewealth.com. That's under the observations and commentary section. That's where I blog. And I did mention there that I had sold my positions, and I did that, probably early mid-afternoon, something like that. I didn't have the opportunity to come on and do a podcast. Podcasting takes a lot more time and effort and preparation for me to complete, so it's much easier for me to throw out a blog post than it is to do a podcast. So if you want to follow me and kind of get a feel for when I'm in and out of the market, what you need to do is subscribe to the blog post over at investablewealth.com. Now, I know some of you may be concerned to do that. You have to sign up with your email address. If you don't want to, that's fine. I understand that. I will try and reassure you, though, that I don't spam people. In fact, as far as I know, I've never sent an email out other than through the blog post. And so you can go back and see how many times over the last couple of years I've blogged. I really don't do it that frequently. I'm not trying to build up some kind of a mailing list. What I'm trying to do with that blog post is to not only inform people, but also to kind of put out a historical record of my opinions and when I'm moving out of stocks so that that's there to be preserved as a historical record. So you'll notice, other than yesterday's post, I think the only other time I posted in the last 30 days was back in February when I got into the market. So in any case, if you're interested in following me and my market decisions and maybe getting a little more timely updates than you'd receive with this podcast, do subscribe over at investablewealth.com. That's where I think you might find the most timely information. And then as to this podcast, this is where I think you find the most detailed information. This is where I can actually go in and verbalize and explain to you my thought processes and why I do particular things. Here's the point I'm trying to make. A couple weeks ago, my opinion was that the market would revert to a more stable position, things would calm down a little bit through March, and then towards the end of March or beginning of April, I would most likely sell positions and take profits. Now, that was a couple weeks ago. That was about 10 trading days ago. But about 5 trading days ago, things started to change. We had seen the S&P 500 make a new record high on February 25th, pulled back for a couple days, and then it went back up and didn't nearly get back to that level, but it did raise up back on March 2nd. But then after that, from March 3rd all the way through today, that 7 trading sessions, over those 7 trading sessions, the market was only up 2 of those 7 trading sessions. And of those 5 trading sessions that were down, 2 of them were down substantially. A great deal of volatility had crept in those 1 or 2 days of trade. We saw some major losses of, somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.5% to almost 2% in a day on a move on the S&P 500 index. To get the index to move that much, that means that some individual stocks may be declining a great deal more than just that 1% move or so. So that showed that we were in some very volatile times. Now, I was holding through that all the way up until yesterday, because what happened yesterday? Well, let's go back 4 days ago, 4 trading sessions ago. On March 6th, that would have been Friday a week ago, the S&P 500 dropped almost 1.5% in one day. It looked like it was starting to move up, but then all of a sudden things fell apart, and that's when a good jobs report came out. Basically, we're seeing that the economy's improving, there's less unemployment, and while you would think that that is good news, to Wall Street, that's bad news. You see, Wall Street is afraid that if unemployment numbers go down too much, then the Federal Reserve will tighten up on interest rates. That'll cause the cost of money to be increased. Higher money costs obviously mean higher input costs and lower profits to Wall Street. Remember, for the last 6+ years, This bull market, this rally, has been propelled by cheap money from the Federal Reserve. They've not raised interest rates since 2006, so we're nearly a decade without an increase in interest rates. Think about that for a minute. You could be a young person on Wall Street and have spent 10 years of your career without going through a major change in interest rates rising. To me, that's why when interest rates eventually do, and at some point they will, that may be this year, that may be in 5 years, but in some point interest rates will rise. If they don't rise gradually, that could cause a real problem for traders who have spent, you know, a decade of their career not experiencing an environment where interest rates have gone up. And I don't mean where interest rates have gone up a little bit. I'm talking about over the last 9 years, interest rates have not gone up one bit, zero, nada. And then we're seeing people that have spent their entire careers on Wall Street in a declining interest rate market, a declining trend. Now, interest rates have gone up and down over the last 30 years, but for the most part, we've seen a steady downward decline in interest rates for 30 years. So again, when those rates start to go up, and if they go up precipitously, then you could see some confusion because people wouldn't know how to deal with it. It would be a new normal for them, and that would be one scenario where you could see things really fall apart in the marketplace. That's why right now I say we're between a rock and a hard place, and we've been here for quite a while. You see, valuations on the stock market, they're not extreme, but they're not cheap either. So stocks are, say, on the high end of their valuations. That means they're a little bit pricey. So you may not want to be in stocks. You may want to take profits and get out. Well, the problem with that is, well, what do? You can't go into bonds because remember, the value of a bond, or more importantly, the principal of a bond fund will decrease if interest rates go up. And right now, it looks like interest rates very much could go up. And again, they will go up at some point because they haven't been adjusted for 9 years. So at some point, interest rates do have to move up. And that will mean you'll lose principal in your bond fund. So this is kind of one of those things where you're between a rock and a hard place. You're darned if you do and darned if you don't. And really the only safe position is cash. Now a lot of people don't like to go in cash because you lose opportunity costs, you lose money to inflation. Well, if you listen to me for any length of time, you know that I think cash is a viable position. I'm never afraid to move into cash or a money market or a very short government debt instrument such as a 3-month treasury bill. Those are good places to park your money, and in the markets we're in, you know, parking your money may mean several months. It could mean, you know, taking the whole year off. You don't want to go into a market when things are going up and down over 1% like they have been these past couple days. I'm digressing here. Let me go back. So on Friday last week, even though the market went down nearly 1.5%, and we saw that big volatility was creeping back into the markets, I held my positions. Now, I held my positions, you have to remember, primarily when I talk about that, most of my positions have been overseas. And so even though the U.S. market may be doing bad, things could be doing well overseas in foreign stocks. These are stocks that would be profiting from the stronger dollar and lower oil prices. So I was really less concerned with the overall S&P 500 index, particularly last Friday. You see, with all the fear of rising interest rates, that would help my foreign positions, because what would it do? It would drive interest rates up in the U.S., which would mean, and I'm just saying if that happened, it would drive interest rates up. I'm not necessarily saying they're going to go up, but if people's fears about higher employment rates would mean that the Federal Reserve would tighten the money supply, that would result in higher interest rates. Higher interest rates would mean a stronger dollar. A stronger dollar would mean cheaper exports from France and Germany and Japan and places like that, places that I was invested in, and that was good for me. I was also encouraged on Monday, this is Monday 3 trading sessions ago, because the market had recovered some from its downfall on Friday. Now it recovered in below average volume, and while the market was down nearly 1.5% on Friday and it was up less than 0.5% on Monday, I still felt comfortable with that. Things, you know, seemed at least to be moving in the right direction. Things were stable. Again, I have primarily invested outside the United States, with the exception of some niche exchange-traded funds in the financial sector. And remember, when interest rates go up, the financial sector benefits as well because they make money on the spread. The bigger the spread, the larger profit margin they can take. So again, I was fine with everything. Well, that all fell apart on Tuesday, and here's why. Now, on Tuesday, that would be yesterday if you're listening in today on March 11th, 2015, the market fell again. The S&P 500 was down almost 2%, something like 1.7%. And not only did it drop like a lead balloon, but it also broke hard below its 50-day moving average. It dropped well below its 50-day moving average, and it had broken the support that it had at previous inflection points that we'd seen back in January and in December. That was very concerning to me, and I sold my positions. I sold virtually everything I was long in. There are just one or two stocks that I'm holding on to. But for the most part, I sold all the positions I was long in. These would definitely be all the positions that I've talked to you about, the things like my exchange-traded funds in Japan and Germany and Ireland, and then my financial and insurance ETFs in the U.S. I liquidated all those positions. Now, why did I do that? If just a week or so ago I was confident, I was feeling that would be okay into April, and also I'm invested in foreign stocks, why would I change my opinion in one day? Well, as I say, the S&P 500 not only dropped precipitously, it not only dropped like a lead balloon, it broke its 50-day moving average. To me, that's a red flag. That's an area of concern. My financial stocks were obviously taking a hit, but more importantly, I was also seeing my profits eroding in my foreign stocks. My foreign stocks were declining for the most part because the dollar was rising. You have to remember, when you're investing overseas, when you're investing outside the United States, that means you're investing in their local currencies, the yen or the euro. So even though those individual stocks may be moving up and the position is moving up in value, once it gets converted from the euro or the yen back into US dollars, you may see that position declining. Well, that's what was happening, as well as some general nervousness and jitteriness was also pulling down my foreign stocks, and I knew that was happening because I could see that my indexes that were hedged for the US dollar, for example, they were invested in European exporters, but that money was hedged in US dollars so that I didn't experience any currency exchange risk. Well, even those positions had been taking a hit over the past couple days. I was worried about that. I wanted to lock in my profits. Now, 2 weeks ago, I had had some substantial profits. My banking stocks were doing well. My foreign stocks were doing extremely well. And then over these past, four or five sessions, I saw that getting degraded. I didn't want to lose my profits. And so that's why I liquidated all my positions. And now looking at the markets today, the S&P 500 is back down again. Most of my European positions are moving in the positive direction. You know, had I held on one more day, I could have perhaps locked in an extra percent or 0.7% or 1% in profits. But you know, it wasn't worth taking that risk. And that's the point I want to make in this podcast. That's why I want to stress to you the importance of selling. You have to know when to sell. A lot of people think that investing and being a successful trader in the stock market has to do with buying. Well, buying is really only about a quarter. 75% of the battle, or 75% of your struggle, has to be with when to sell. Because whenever you buy, you're always buying to make a profit. I mean, you think about that. You evaluate a stock or an exchange-traded fund, or you evaluate a trend or some type of a sector. And when you decide to invest in it for the long term, when you decide to buy in that, you're only buying to make a profit. You're buying because you think that you're going to make more money when you terminate that position than you did when you started it. So that does take a lot of effort. It takes a lot of skill and ability, but it's still only about 25% of the battle. You see why I say the other part is 75% is once you've bought it, you're not only looking at a future sell point to make a profit, but you're also constantly looking at when to sell it to prevent a loss. And so there's a lot more work involved with determining when to sell than there is when to buy. But once you determine what that point is for you, you can't be dogmatic about your previous strategy or where you think the market's going. You know, for example, I still think that foreign positions are going to do well. I still think that the high US dollar and the low oil prices are going to favor certain countries. I wouldn't be opposed to buying back into those positions, but just the way the market has moved over the past 3 or 4 or 5 sessions, I'm not going to be dogmatic about that position. I saw my profits decreasing. I don't like to have a decreasing profits. I certainly don't like to take a loss in principal. And so I always set loss points or sell points, or you can call it an exit strategy. I would rather take a small profit than any type of a loss. Remember the old saying about a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. It's better to have a dollar in profits locked in than it is to think that, well, maybe in a month or 2 months, I'm going to make $2. I'd rather have that dollar today, particularly when I see the S&P 500 having wild volatility and fluctuating, 2% in one trading session, and especially when I'm seeing the S&P 500 break below its 50-day moving average, which is what it did yesterday, and it closed lower today. And today's session is very telling to me. The reason I say that is because the market had appeared to recover. This morning, the market actually did open higher. Futures and pre-hour trading this morning was looking very favorable. And then about mid-morning, the market started to slide, and it really slid the entire day. In the final minutes of trading, it was up just slightly from where it had been, in the previous 30 minutes or so. But still, it was down significantly from where it had started the day. That's a worrying sign, particularly after coming on such a large loss yesterday when the S&P fell below its 50-day moving average. We saw similar activity on the NASDAQ, except that the NASDAQ is trading at least above its 50-day moving average. That's reassuring there. But really, what we've seen in just the last few days, even though the NASDAQ is above its 50-day moving average, the previous gains that had been made in the previous 3 weeks were all wiped out just in the last few days on the NASDAQ. So again, that's very concerning. We'll want to watch that closely. If the S&P 500 continues to be below its 50-day moving average, and then the NASDAQ drops below its 50-day moving average, we're definitely on thin ice at that point. I don't talk much about the Dow Jones Industrial Average, but incidentally, it mimicked pretty much the action that we saw in the S&P 500, so it also is down below its 50-day moving average. It closed lower again today. These are all cautionary things. I'm not saying that you should pull out of the stock market. Remember, in this podcast, I don't know enough about your specific situation to be able to legally give you advice or recommendations. All I'm doing on here is kind of venting and telling you about my trading strategies, telling you about where I see things headed, and then coming back on each episode and following up and letting you know what I ended up buying and what I ended up selling. And I do this in an effort to help teach you critical thinking skills, and also so you can experience what it's like. Now, I know this isn't real time, but I think you can get a sense of where my emotions are at and how I try and control those emotions, how I try and bridle my passions and, you know, take my prejudices and my biases and rein those in and just look at the facts when it comes to the stock market. And as you follow along with me, I think it's important that you understand how from day to day I can change my position. I can be bullish and wanting to buy one day, and then the next day I can turn around and sell it. You see, it doesn't matter what the stock market's going to do next year or next month. I'm worried about what it's doing right now because I live right now. I profit right now. Now, I don't day trade. I do swing trade. Generally, I trade my positions anywhere from, say, 2 weeks to 2 or 3 months. That's the period I like to trade in. If you've been following along on this last run, you'll know that I got into the market. I believe it was right around February 10th. Don't quote me on that. You can go back and listen to previous podcast episodes or check my blog over at investablewealth.com. But I think it was February 10th. And then basically, I sold all my positions yesterday. That's March 10th. So more or less, I held those positions for around 4 weeks. I did come out with a profit. It wasn't as much as I would have liked to have seen, but hey, if I can still come out with a 2 or 3% profit and do that over a 4-week period, well, I'm happy with that. Remember, 10-year U.S. Treasuries are only paying about 2% right now, 2.14%. If I can make 2% over a few weeks, that's fantastic. You know, I could just sit the rest of the year out and keep my capital safe and not have to worry about losing anything to inflation. That's not a bad position to be in. Remember, in wealth setting, I stress getting rich slowly. I don't talk about get-rich-quick schemes. To give you a baseball analogy, it's all about hitting base hits. You want to hit as many base hits as you can. You want to avoid getting struck out. And if you can do that, every now and then you're going to have your bases loaded and you're going to get up there and you're going to hit a home run and you're going to bat in all those runs. That's what it's about. Every day making small little advances. And then when a big bull market comes in, you can really cash in and make some large profits. But what you want to avoid is those strikeouts. You want to avoid being in a market when it's declining. That's why when the S&P 500 dropped below its 50-day moving average, I was out. Now, in a day or two, if it bounces back above that, will I get back in? Well, I might. It's very possible that I will. Will I get back into my foreign stocks? Well, I don't know. I rode those the last month or so. I might move into some different positions. We'll have to wait and see. Remember, blondes, brunettes, redheads. When you're investing, you're looking for diversification and variety. You're not going to be wed to any one stock or any one ideology. So the big takeaway from today's episode is you have to have the discipline to know when to sell. You have to be content with having a bird in the hand and foregoing the two that are in the bush. you need to spend probably 75% of your time studying your exit strategy. When to sell, not only to preserve profits, but to preserve your capital, perhaps taking a small loss of 3 or 4% instead of following down a major loss and losing 15 or 20%. So focus on when to sell, focus on your exit strategy, work on developing that discipline. Now, I want to end today's podcast in just making one more comment about market conditions. And this is something that I covered in yesterday's post on investablewealth.com. Now, even though I sold my position yesterday, do I think that things are going to totally fall apart? Do I think that we're going to see a major correction and pullback on the S&P 500? Well, actually, I don't. You know what? I would love to see that. I would really like to see a 15 or 20% pullback. I think that would be a great buying opportunity. And although I may want that to happen, although I may wish that to happen, I don't trade that way. I trade based on what I see the market telling me. And so, no, I don't think that's going to happen. Again, I can put together scenarios to say how it would, but what good would it do? That would just be wargaming things. I think it was Mike Tyson that said that all your plans fall apart when you get that first punch in the face. Because again, I'm trading for today. I'm trading for what's happening now. I'm not trading for what's going to happen 2 weeks from now because I have no idea what's going to happen 2 weeks from now. Having said that, now remember, I sold my positions yesterday because I wanted to lock in my profits. I wanted to minimize my risk because that S&P 500 dropped below its 50-day moving average. My foreign stocks were being affected by that. I was seeing my profits starting to erode. I also know that the pattern, and I talk about the personality of a stock or a personality of an index. Well, I know that the pattern that's been set by this rally over the last 6 years, this bull market over the last 6 years, has been what I'm going to describe here in four steps. And this is what I wrote about in the blog post yesterday over at investablewealth.com. Step one is the economy starts to show signs of improvement. And then about 2 weeks or so before the Federal Reserve has one of their open market meetings, when the economy looks like it's getting better, we go into step two. And what happens during step two or phase two is that Wall Street starts to get nervous because they see an improving economy. They know the rally is built on easy money and they're worried that the Federal Reserve is going to raise interest rates. So step one is we have an improving economy, and that's going into a Federal Reserve open market meeting. Step two is Wall Street starts to get nervous, and that's what we've seen over these last couple of days with the improvement in the employment numbers. And so that takes us into step three, and that's when the Federal Reserve comes out at their open market meeting. They calm the markets. They say, no, we're going to keep money cheap. We're going to raise interest rates sometime in the future. But then they do some voodoo economics, and they adjust the things they'd previously told us, and they move around their indicators. And they say, yeah, we will raise rates, but just not yet. And that's step three. And then step four is the market likes that. The market not only goes up that day or the next day, but it goes on to make all-time record highs. Well, that's pretty much what we've seen taking place here over the last 6 years, and we've just gone through phase two of that right now. Phase one was over the last week, good employment numbers have come out. Phase two was where Wall Street starts to get nervous. That happened over the last, you know, three or four trading sessions where we've seen the S&P average now dropping below its 50-day moving average. Step three will happen next week. I believe it's on March 17th and 18th is when the Federal Reserve holds their next open market meeting. So around the 18th or so, we'll be looking for their announcement where Janet Yellen comes out and she says, no, we have a Goldilocks economy. It's not too this, it's not too that, it's just right. And then the markets will love that. And we'll go on to have the market rally. The S&P will break above its 50-day moving average, and it'll go on to make another new market high. That will be step four. Well, will that happen? Now remember, I can't predict the future. I have no idea what's going to happen when the market opens up on March 19th, you know, the day after Janet Yellen makes her announcements. I'm just telling you the personality of this rally, the pattern that I've seen developing over these last 6 years. We're going to have to wait a week or so and see what happens. Although I think it's a pretty good bet that the four-step process that I just outlined for you is going to happen over that, you're going to see that unfold over the next week or so because we've seen it happen over and over again over the last 6 years. I'm not confident enough to have held my position, and that's why I sold yesterday. That's why I took my profits. I want to make my 1 or 2 or 3% over these past 4 weeks. I want to hold that in cash, and then I want to see what the market is telling me is happening over these coming days and weeks. I do want to add that I've been talking in this episode about selling my long positions. For those of you that have asked, I do want to clarify, I am still holding on to my short positions. I'm short in gold. I'm short oil. And then just recently, I've started to short the S&P 500. I'm doing all these through exchange-traded funds. I think this is really a risky position to take. I would not advise you to do that. And to emphasize the fact that I think it's risky, I want you to know that I'm only doing this with my personal money. I have not invested any client money in these shorts. That's how uncertain and how volatile this market is. And again, I want to emphasize that's why I'm only taking this in my own personal positions. I wouldn't recommend that anybody else do that at this point. So that's where I think the market is right now. So I invite you to follow me on this adventure, on this journey. Keep listening in. I'll be providing you with regular updates and giving you my opinion of where the market's headed, and we'll see what happens. So as always, I want to thank you for listening in, particularly all the new listeners that are coming in. I know you're finding this podcast because of referrals from your friends and relatives. I appreciate that. I appreciate all of you that are out there evangelizing the well-standing principles and concepts. Thank you so much for those of you that have subscribed to the podcast through iTunes, and especially those of you that have made the effort to leave a rating or a review. I really appreciate that. Don't let these markets get you down. It's a good time to be in cash. Let's wait and see what happens. As always, this is John Pugliano wishing you the very best of returns.